Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. I want to go ahead and apologize for this drainage I got going on. I've been fighting for a week. I thought I was going to be good, and then it hit me again yesterday like a lead balloon. So thankful that you have chosen to be here this morning, chosen to spend this time together worshiping God. Our topic for today is focus. How can we focus in our lives? What are we focused on in our lives? We have the challenge, I think, greater than any generation that has lived before us. The challenge of focusing in on something. With a million distractions bombarding us each and every day, our challenge as adults, our challenge as teenagers and children is to focus. Today I want to spend just our time that we have together thinking about the passage that was read, Philippians chapter 3. And how we can use that in Paul's writing there in focusing our lives. It was said that a hungry tiger started tracking the scent of a deer. And this hungry tiger was following the scent of this hungry deer down a path. And as this hungry tiger kept getting seemingly closer and closer and closer to this deer, he came across the scent of a rabbit. And the tiger all of a sudden veered off the scent of the deer and went to follow the trail of the rabbit. And as he was going along trying to find the rabbit that had left the scent, as he was going down the path of the rabbit, all of a sudden he came across a third scent. This scent was that of a mouse. And he was distracted by that different smell, and he took off and veered off onto the path of this mouse. Well, he followed just a short bit of time, and that path of the scent of the mouse ended in a small hole in the ground, and where that mouse had eventually vanished. The hungry tiger, after minutes, after hours, I don't know how long it was, tracking and being distracted by the different scents, he ended the day hungrier than when he started the day. The point of that being, this fable illustrates that many people spend their lives distracted. We start down one path or we start on one project and all of a sudden we're distracted by something else. And then maybe we veer our lives down that path. And then shortly thereafter, maybe we're distracted by something else. And yet, at the end of the day, what have we really accomplished? Probably not much. Probably not much at all by being distracted and not being able to focus. If you would, go back with me to Philippians chapter 3 there. I appreciate Brother Leland reading that passage there. I want to reread that as well as we begin our time here. In the third chapter of Philippians, we're going to glean 3 points from three things that we can focus on from Paul's writings here in Philippians chapter 3. Begin with me in verse 10. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. That I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained. Here we see in Philippians chapter 3, the end of verse 13. What does Paul say that he is focused on? Paul says, but the one thing that I do. There at the end of verse 13. The one thing that I do. He doesn't say the 100 things that I start or the dozen things that I'm going to attempt. But he restates the one thing that I do. And in verse 14, he says that he is putting all his energy into one thing. And that one thing is straining forward to what lies ahead. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of struggle with this sometimes. Kind of struggle with focusing in on one thing. I think I'm self-diagnosed a little ADHD. I'm here 1 minute, then I'm over here another minute, and I'm bouncing a ball off the wall in my classroom, and then I'm doing this or something like that. Okay, sometimes I get a little distracted, and we have trouble focusing in on one thing. Sometimes we say yes to too many things, and we get involved. And yes, it's so important that we get involved. It's so important that we work and that we're keeping up with our responsibilities. But recently I read this German proverb. It said, he who begins too much accomplishes little. He who begins too much accomplishes little. Meaning we can begin a lot of things, but if we never focus in on one thing and see that through the end, what are we really accomplishing? Many of you, like me, may have several different projects that you've started at home. I know my honey-do list is about that many pages long. And I may start something and I may get distracted and go off and do something else. Right now, I've kind of began dabbling in a little woodworking. I built a coffee table and I built a console table. And Jackson wanted me to build him a desk. And I kind of get focused in on that, and then, oh no, I see something else. Oh, I like this. I want to start building on that. But I have to finish one project at a time. We got to stay focused. Perhaps you too may have this problem of staying focused. So let's see what Paul can teach us here, what Scripture can teach us, God's words can teach us. Point number one here that Paul can teach us is that we need to be focused on a person. Focused on a person. And that person needs to be Jesus Christ. We need to be focused on Christ. Look with me at Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Let's just read 10 and 11 again. It says, that I may know Him. Paul starts right there, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. I dare say the majority of people in this room here today know who I am. Now, you know that my name's Nick Pace. You know that I'm the youth minister here at South Green Street, and that I'm a school teacher, and that I have a wife and kids and things like that. Now, that's different than really knowing me. I dare say there's only a few people in here that may know me as close as my wife and kids may know me. If you've ever seen the movie Dory, one of Dory's biggest problems is that Dory is forgetful in the movie. And my nickname at home that my kids and my lovely wife have given me is Dad Dory, because I never can remember where this thing is or my keys are, or different things like that. And as soon as I say, well, where's such and such? First thing's out of their mouth, that Dory strikes again. And so there's more things that they know about me than the majority of the congregation would know about me. So there's a difference of knowing Jesus. There's a difference of knowing John 3:16 and really knowing and having a relationship with Christ Jesus. It's more than just being able to recite a verse or two here or there. Okay, Paul enjoyed a special relationship with Christ already, but he longed to know more and to know more and to get closer to Christ himself. So what about knowing Christ in this life that Paul desired? He wanted to know everything about Jesus that he could, and that began with the power of the resurrection. Now, there are some very, very, very powerful things on this earth. A hurricane, a tornado, jets, all kinds of different machinery that are extremely powerful. But I dare say there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that is more powerful than God's power to overcome death. Christ's power through his Father to overcome the death that he faced on the cross through that resurrection. And Paul wanted to know, he wants to know the power of the strength that is available to the Christian through the resurrection of the Lord. You know, we have power through Christ, and it's because of his resurrection that we have that power. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And because of that, because Christ sacrificed himself, because he was resurrected, because of the power of the resurrection, we see Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, if we've crucified ourselves, if we have Christ in us, Philippians 4, 13 says we can do all things through him who strengthens me. There is power in the resurrection that we as Christians can obtain. But at the same time, he felt that he needed a constant renewal of that strength and that power. Paul was constantly seeking to grow closer and closer and closer to Christ. That was his focus. His focus in his life was to grow closer to him. But only in addition to that, Paul also wanted to know the fellowship of his suffering. The fellowship. He wanted to take part, or he wanted to share, or the joint participation in that suffering that Christ faced. Paul felt there was really no way you could completely understand or completely know Christ unless you shared in his suffering. Christ went through a tremendous amount of suffering here on earth for us, for you, for me. And Paul says, Galatians chapter 6, verse 17, from now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For he who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Are we sharing in? Is our focus on Christ? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul states innumerable amounts of suffering that he faced. Through the suffering for the cause of Christ, Paul came to understand more clearly what the Lord had suffered for him, why the Lord had suffered for him. It was through that suffering that Paul became more focused. Then he concludes his thoughts here with the words, becoming like him in his death. As we saw in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 a while ago, with the help of the Lord, Paul was dying to himself. Let me read Galatians 2:20 once again. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul had completely and utterly dedicated his life, okay, to remove himself, to remove his wants, his desires from his life. completely putting himself to death and living for Christ. All of his actions, all of his words were completely for Christ. Paul's desire to know Christ had these four characteristics. He had a personal experience. He says there, that I may know him, that I may know Christ. He had a powerful experience. That was the resurrection, knowing the power of his resurrection. The painful experience, and that was the suffering. And then the practical experience, okay? Being conformable unto his death. If we want to know Christ, we have to understand his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and how important that is as Christians to us. Go with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I want you to notice here the emphasis on Christ's suffering, his resurrection, and our need to conform to his death. Romans chapter 6. Think about these aspects with me as we begin in verse 1. Think about Christ's suffering. Think about his resurrection. And think about how we need to conform to his death. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. It says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who die to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Did you see the emphasis there on Christ's suffering? Christ came to this earth. He was punished. He suffered. He was beaten. He was nailed to the cross, ultimately dying. Did you see the resurrection? He overcame that death. He overcame the suffering that led to that death. And did you see our need to conform to that? Our need to put away our sin in our lives. The need for us to die to ourselves, as Paul stated, and to live for him. Die to self, live for Christ. And we do that through our obedience to the gospel. Our obedience of believing and having faith in him, of confessing him before men, of repenting of our sins, turning away from our sins, going in a godly direction, and being immersed in the watery grave of baptism to begin that new walk, to begin that new life, to continue to live faithfully day in and day out after that. Our need to conform to his death is clearly stated here in Scripture. Paul looked forward to knowing Christ in the next life. Not just knowing Christ while he lived here on earth, but knowing Christ in the next life. This was obviously evident in his mind here, as he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 11. It says that by any means possible I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. And then Jesus states over in John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. If our focus here today is living for Christ, if our focus is knowing Jesus as best and as humanly possible we can have that one day, that knowing Him in the next life. Paul looked forward to his time to fully knowing Christ. So my question to you is, how focused are you in knowing Christ? How focused are you in knowing Christ today? How focused are you in knowing Christ in your next life? Well, your actions tell that. Your actions tell your focus. What are you focused on? Are you focused on knowing Christ? Number two, not only should we be focused on a person, but Paul says we should be focused on a prize. Focus on a prize. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12, 13, and 14. It's not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. Because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Look at the attitude here of Paul, okay, regarding his present nature. We need to see that humility, okay? We need to be focused on being humble. He says there, not that I have already obtained this. Paul says, I'm not perfect. I've not obtained the full knowledge of Christ. Okay, that's only going to come after the resurrection, after I come in to be with Christ. He also says there in verse 12, the second part, nor, he says, am I already perfect. Paul knew that he wasn't perfect. He knew that there was more to learn. He knew he could be a better person. If Paul claims to have room to grow, what about us? If the great Paul, if he says, I have room to grow, what about us here today? The challenge is for us to grow. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Is your focus on growing? Is the prize, are you focused on the prize? In order to receive the prize, we have to grow. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you focused on obtaining growth in your life? Or are you just sitting still? Or are you just sitting still? What about regarding the past? Paul says here, regarding the past, we need forgiveness. We need forgiveness. How did Paul cope with not being all that he could be? Well, what did he say in verse 13? He says, forgetting what lies behind. Forgetting what lies behind. What's Paul forgetting? Well, do you remember Paul did some pretty ugly things in his past, right? Remember Saul? Remember he was a murderer? He was putting Christians in jail? He knew he had some past failures in his life. We cannot rely on our past achievements. We must continue to prove ourselves. Grow, improve. Okay? He wanted to forget those failures. He wasn't perfect. He didn't spend his time regretting. He spent his time repenting and moving forward. Many of us allow the past to destroy our present. We allow what's happened yesterday, 2 weeks ago, 20 years ago. We dwell on that, and we allow it to destroy our time today. We need to be focused. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, for I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. What about, we talked about the present, the past, what about the future? Paul says regarding the future that progress needs to be needed. Okay, progress is needed. When we dwell in the past, many times we become distracted and we become discouraged. When we're focused on the past, we're distracted. You can't drive successfully down the road always looking in your rearview mirror. Paul says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. Verse 13. He says in verse 12, that I press on. We see here Paul's intensity. Okay, his intensity. He desires to reach his spiritual goal. He's not just sitting still. He's not looking backwards. He wants to press forward. What's Paul reaching for? Well, that's the prize that he's focused on and we should be focused on as well. Look what he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. It says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul knew what the prize was. Do we? Do we know what the prize is? Are we focused on the prize? The number three, Paul tells us we should be focused on the people. Not only should we be focused on a person, which is Christ, not only should we be focused on a prize, which is heaven, we should be focused on people. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. So let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Here we see Paul's genuine concern. His genuine concern for others. We see the previous text before that. Paul had been very concentrated on himself, using the words I and me and my and myself. But here in verse 15, we see this shift to let those of us, okay, talking about his changing his focus from himself to other people. Okay, Paul wants everyone to have this attitude of looking at others. We're in a very selfish culture. What can I do to get the prize? What can I do to get ahead? What can I do to get the promotion? What can I do to get the scholarship? We need to be focused on others. Let's be different than what the world says. The world says, do what you can do to get ahead, not help others to get ahead. But we see Paul clearly write in a couple of different places here to focus on others. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, Paul says, to bear one another's burdens. It means to be there for one another. Help someone else. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, as for you, brothers, do not grow weary of doing good. I don't know about you, but I think helping others is definitely doing good. Looking for opportunities to serve others. Paul here, we see, has a genuine concern for others. But he also has this gentle correction as well. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you, he says. One of the traits of an immature Christian is their inadequate knowledge of God's word. We see over and over and over again to grow, grow, grow. That includes growing in our knowledge of the scripture. Paul here was confident that they would get the instruction. Not only they, but we also would get the instruction that we need. And where does our instruction come from? Well, it comes from the Bible. It comes from our knowledge of God's word. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God. Listen to what scripture is good for. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Now, if you have God's word, if you know God's word, look at verse 17. It says that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Now, if we know God's word, we'll be complete. We'll be ready to work. We'll be ready to serve. 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says that we should be rightly handling the word of God. That's studying. That's continuing to grow, continuing to be better knowledge. And then lastly, we see this general command he says there in verse 16, the end of verse 16. He says, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. To be spiritually united, we must have one common authority. And that common authority is the Bible. We all, to be unified, to be spiritually unified, we need to follow God's word. We see Peter in the first century, the church of the early first century. He says that in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, that we must obey God rather than man. And oftentimes that's hard. When it comes to man versus the Bible, to be spiritually unified, the Bible has to be what unifies us. Not my words, not some other man's words, but the Bible's words. And God's will for us is plain if we obediently follow His Word. His Word contains the only path that we can take to get the prize that we should be focused on. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then skip over to chapter 14 of John. Verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What are you focused on? Who are you focused on the most? Are you selfishly focused on yourself? Or are you focused on others? Are you focused on Jesus? Are you focused on knowing Christ here so that one day you can obtain the prize? Are you focused on living your life not to obtain the prize here on earth, but to obtain the prize of heaven? The choice is yours. Our command is to stay focused. Stay focused spiritually. There are many matters in life that are important. I'm not knocking any of that. There are many things in your lives and in my life that is extremely important, but none are more important than our relationship with Christ. So tonight, this morning, I ask you, what are you focused on? What are you focused on in your life? Let us all focus on Christ this morning as we stand and sing.